Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul,
and Chris. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything that you want here on the program. We're going to continue. We will take your calls about whatever's on your mind. But, Chris, you were just about to get into a story with us about Library. L-B-R-Y is how you spell it. You can go to library, lbry.com. and learn more about the technology behind Library. You can download the full Library desktop app, and you can run Library, and you can then sort of be part of the network and make it stronger, if you will. Everything that you watch, you will essentially become a seeder of. You'll help spread that file into eternity, basically. So it's a pretty interesting file sharing protocol, or a media sharing protocol. It works very, very well. But it turns out it works so well, the government gang has targeted it. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, has brought a lawsuit against Library as of, I don't know, was it 2021 when they officially announced it? I think it was like right after we got raided here at the studio, because I remember there was...
Odyssey we're talking about?
No, Library. Library is being targeted by the SEC.
Oh, the announcement. I think you're right, the arrest.
They didn't arrest anyone. It's a civil suit.
I thought there was a criminal portion to that, as I understood.
I've not heard anything about it.
I thought it was there was one component against Jeremy Kaufman and one component against...
If that's true, it's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, you might want to look into it again. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Kaufman got arrested for leaving his house during...
Oh, yeah, no. That was something else.
Shelter-in-place order, but...
No, that was something else.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about specifically about Library here. That's my recollection, and, you know, I do get stuff wrong sometimes, but I'm pretty sure it was a criminal...
No, if you search for his arrest, all you get is the disorderly conduct.
Just a disorderly conduct?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was arrested, but there was some sort of criminal action, was my understanding. So,
okay, you're going to have to find that one. I don't think you're right.
Yeah.
But let's go on.
Maybe I can look it up later. Basically, the National Law Review, which this is interesting because this isn't a normal news outlet, but, you know, they do analyses of, criminal cases and things of that nature here and there. And they did one on Library. So here's a bit of the story. While the crypto community is rightfully focused on the Ripple case to see how the SEC will fare in court on enforcement's alleging cryptocurrency offerings are a security, a lesser-known case may provide clarity first. The SEC's suit against Library is scheduled for a trial in September 2022. Library is a protocol that allows anyone to build apps that interact with digital content on the Library network. Apps built using this protocol allow creators to upload their work to the Library network of hosts. So it's basically decentralized. Set a price per stream, download, or give it away for free. When a creator publishes something on a Library, an entry is made on the Library blockchain. The securities issue arises from the sale of Library credits as detailed below. So there's
Library credits are a cryptocurrency that essentially powers the system. So whenever you want to upload something, because you're utilizing a blockchain, there's always a cost, generally, when using a blockchain to do a thing, whether we're talking about Bitcoin or Ethereum or the Library one. And so there's a very small cost. It's like pennies or whatever, or even less probably than pennies to upload a video. But that is why the token is being used.
Yeah, it's also interesting, too, because you can actually use them to make donations to content creators that you like. If you're using – I don't know how that works on – Odyssey, if you can do that, but I know you can do it on Library.
Yeah, you can. Odyssey is basically a front end for Library with a few more bells and whistles.
I've definitely seen a lot more content on Odyssey because it's easily linkable in the web browser, which makes Odyssey really convenient.
Useful. Yeah.
And useful, much more so than Library, where you need to actually install Library in order to use it. In 2021, the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a complaint against Library Incorporated. The SEC alleges that library violated the Securities Act of 1933. You know, this is before, I believe, the first analog computer, let alone digital computer, which makes it very entertaining to read here, by offering and selling unregistered securities when it sold library credits to numerous investors, including investors based in the United States, without registering with the SEC. You know, I really have to wonder if that's how they marketed it, because I don't think that was how they marketed it, if I recall. And it's this SEC is basically claiming that's what it became. Because I think even initially they were not saying that. The SEC wasn't saying that. Which also kind of makes it interesting.
Well, here's the thing. Look, I'm no expert when it comes to finance or whatever, but just looking up at Investopedia for what is a security, according to what they say here, it is a fungible, negotiable financial instrument that holds some type of monetary value, representing an ownership position in a publicly traded corporation via stock, a creditor relationship with a governmental body, or a corporation represented by owning that entity's bond, or rights to ownership as represented by an option. None of these things are ownership in any company known as library. No. The library credits do not transfer into an ownership percentage. And you get no voting ability.
And there, and the interesting part about this is, too, there's, I mean, I'm pretty confident that there is a entity, library. It's, I don't know if it's an LLC. It might be an LLC, I think we said.
Yeah, something like that.
But the point is, there's probably...
might be a nonprofit. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, but the point that I'm simply making is that there's probably some sort of shares or, you know, an owner, like an actual owner of the company.
They're probably held by Jeremy Kaufman and his co-owners.
Yes, that produces the software.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean because you have a library credit that you own the company.
No, and it would seem so obvious on its face, right? Like, you don't need a whole lawsuit to figure this out.
Right.
But what they want to do is bankrupt them. They want to go after them.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically lawfare, as they call it, like warfare, but law.
And the interesting part of this is they went back and forth for 5 years trying to comply with it. But I think a lot of that was probably to build a case and to get them to exert resources financially on lawyers and things of that nature.
Yeah, so when Jeremy finally spent more than $1 million on it.
When they finally actually did make bring charges or civil or whatever, they don't have any money left to fight it.
Yep.
That's my suspicion, but again,
you're right.
It's completely out. I haven't talked to Jeremy. I mean, I've talked to Jeremy before, but I've never talked to Jeremy about his case, so I don't know. So it's entirely an outsider perspective on this, but from what I have read and what I've heard here and there, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I know I've read Jeremy Kaufman. I mean, he's very prolific online on Twitter, for instance.
Right. Yep.
And he has said, within the last few months, he has said that they regret ever trying to do anything to appease these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what I have also interpreted what he said as effectively being.
It hasn't helped.
No, it doesn't. It's only hurt. And it's like when you try
to the cops.
When you try to, you know, work with the government, it just ends up biting you, you know, in the behind.
Yeah, and they've tried to say, like, what, just tell us what we need to do. And they won't.
No.
They won't tell you.
No, because if they tell you what you need to do, then you'll be, by their own words, you'll be compliant. Yeah. And then how is that going to look when they try to charge you with something?
Right.
It's crazy. But this is what they do. I mean,
they're not just doing it to the library. They're also after Ripple and I don't know who else.
Yep. And the funny thing with Ripple isn't Ripple the one that was super, like, you know, cozy with the banks and the government and stuff?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy. It's like they're producing a product for government, and yet the government's going after them for it. The complaint alleges that the library credits were sold as investment contracts, which is not true, and therefore securities under the Howey test, SEC versus W.J. Howey Company, I guess. Let's see, 328 U.S. 293, 1946. The Howey test holds that an investment contract exists when there is the investment of money in a common enterprise, which didn't happen because they didn't invest money in an enterprise with a reasonable expectation of profits. And there was never any expectation of profits because that's not how library credits work, to be derived from the efforts of others. I mean, I don't know. This doesn't sound at all like a case that, like, why are they even bothering? I mean, I think it's just to bankrupt them.
Yeah.
They want to prevent innovation.
and punish the innovators. Yeah. And then if they punish the innovators, then other potential innovators will be too afraid to do anything, and they'll just stay quiet and or do the smart thing, which is leave the United States.
This is just how afraid the government is of cryptocurrencies, guys.
Free Talk Live.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Certain body functions are silent in that when they are compromised, you don't know until it is too late. One of these functions is immunity. When your immune system is robust, then you never succumb to illness or overcome it quickly. Since we're all being exposed to cabal-created genetically engineered pathogens that our immune systems were not designed to handle, it is important that we make a concerted effort to fortify our immune systems on a daily basis. Here at Synergistic Nutrition, we have two clients who overcame COVID symptoms within 24 hours. We have another client who had long-hauler COVID symptoms for 2 years, who overcame those symptoms within a few weeks. In each instance, the product they credit for helping them was Green Meadow Whey. The lactoferrin in Green Meadow Whey fortifies your immune system to combat virtually all pathogens. I invite you to fortify your immune system and health with Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's best, W-H-E-Y, protein.net.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You've even seen it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. We're talking about Libra, which is the world's first and most successful media sharing protocol. Know it's successful because the government is trying to take it down.
Oh, yeah.
But they won't be able to, by the way, even if the SEC succeeds in bankrupting the Library Corporation, this company that creates the software known as, you know, the Library Desktop app or the Library Android app or whatever. Even if they get put under and they go out of business, the protocol doesn't disappear.
Yeah, you know, this kind of reminds me of FrostWire, which is basically, I don't know if you guys remember LimeWire, but it was peer-to-peer file sharing. And, you know, the network didn't go away when LimeWire shut down because it was truly decentralized. And FrostWire continued to be developed for many years thereafter.
So it was open source.
Yeah, and this is what was, well, yeah, exactly. This is one of the benefits of having these, you know, basically open or free standards and open source and free software, basically, where developers can fork your code. It doesn't matter if you get thrown in a prison, you know, cell or a cage or whatever.
Probably matters to you.
Well, it matters to you, but it doesn't matter to basically any, well, I mean, it might matter to other people too, but it doesn't matter as far as the tool that you've developed. The tool will live on as long as there's people interested in that tool. And as a result, in the case of Library, the same thing is likely to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be successful ultimately at destroying Library, the network, or the protocol. They may take out the corporation.
I think the key thing here is if it's successful, right, and that's yet to be proven, I think, but if Library is successful in that it gets into hands of users and it works well and so on, it's likely that you're not going to be able to kill it off by charging people or arresting people or, you know, some sort of bankruptcy, forced bankruptcy. And that's one of the failures in a lot of the early file sharing networks like Napster. It was not fully decentralized, and there was no source code, so nobody could just fork it, you know. It had to be, you know, you could develop other similar solutions, but you couldn't just make a copy of it, right, and continue working on it. And in the case of Library or in the case of LimeWire, you could because there was that complete set of source code. So those who knew and wanted it did. And so, in the case of Library, and it will live on probably, and the same case with FrostWire.
So what is the analysis here from the attorneys at, what was it, the Law Association?
Yeah, so the National Law Review.
Okay.
So this is the big boys.
Looking at the case.
Yeah, this is looking at the case, which makes it super interesting because it's not giving you a perspective from a layman, you know, we're just like
people. Or a news person.
Or a news person. These are people who actually, you know, have looked into the law. Now, it may not be clear, and different lawyers will give you different opinions. So just keep that in mind, too. But this is their analysis. Let's see here. So let's see. Investment. Let's see others. Whether a particular digital asset at the time of its offer or sale satisfies the Howey test depends on the specific facts and circumstances. In 2019, the SEC published the framework for investment contract analysis of digital assets to assist individuals in determining whether their digital assets run afoul of securities law. I don't know if you remember a number of years ago, was it the IRS? It might have been the IRS, but they released like this document, this really long document, like telling people how like they should behave if they were crypto vendors of some kind, right? Mm. And I remember reading through it, thinking it actually is, they would give you an example. Like there was one part where it gave you an example, and well, first they would explain what you had to do, and then they give you an example, and it would contradict what they said above it. And it actually made it even more confusing as to what you were supposed to be doing.
But they would call it guidance.
I don't know, but
which works well for them, because that way the insiders who know they won't be prosecuted no matter what they do can go ahead and do whatever they do, and the outsiders can read that and know that they will be prosecuted no matter what they do.
Mm-hmm. My suspicion
is it's not what you do, it's who you are
and who you know.
Yep. Suspicion is this is exactly the same situation. Mm-hmm. They're giving you guidance in quotes that basically leaves you with more questions than answers. Seemingly following the framework analysis, the complaint alleges that the Library credits were sold to the public in exchange for contributions designed to build, construct, and develop the Library network. I mean, I don't know. That just seems bizarre. The complaint.
The only thing I ever saw Library credits being sold for was so you can use the network. That's all. You don't get a you know, piece of the action later on down the line.
Yeah.
You don't get a share in the company. It was
definitely not.
It was the gas to make the system go. That's all.
Yeah. The complaint further alleges, it's interesting because it doesn't even say that here. It says in exchange for contributions designed to build, construct, and develop the library network. But that doesn't have anything to do with the company as far as getting a stake in it or anything of that nature. The complaint further alleges that the library credit sales to institutional investors required the investors to wait 1 year before selling their investment. I can't imagine that library would have used those words in terms of describing what it was they were selling as an investment. I don't think they would have, and I certainly don't ever recall that being the case. Additionally, the complaint alleges that the library network, but this is how they manipulate, this is what they're accusing library of. So this is all very manipulative. Yeah. It's very much, I think, like the Crypto 6 case. Very, very manipulative. Additionally,
about the prison time.
We definitely have to look into that again because I keep thinking that there was a criminal aspect to it. But anyway, additionally, the complaint alleges the library network used proceeds from the sales of library credits to pay for the operational costs to grow the library network. As alleged, library received more than $11 million in Bitcoin services and some other stuff. Okay, let's hear it. Answer. In its answer, library pushed back on the agency's claims and asserted several affirmative defenses, including a selective enforcement defense and violation of equal protection under the Fifth Amendment accusation. Library claimed that when the SEC targeted it for enforcement action, the agency treated Library differently from other blockchain companies with no rationale and pursued its investigation in a manner that demonstrated, my eyes are a little bit off here, a selective treatment based on a malicious or bad faith intent to injure library. All right, let's see here. Motion.
I believe it.
Yeah, definitely. Motion for judgment on the pleadings. In its reply, it is kind of interesting their defense that they're intending to use. But you know, this is the thing with like lawyers and like laws and things. What you might think you would want to argue may not always be your best defense. So you may be arguing some weird legalese as opposed to like the more obvious thing that you would think you would be arguing. It's, I don't know, I see that all the time too. Motion for judgment on the pleadings. In his reply, the SEC challenged the defense by saying it's a non-starter since Library admits the agency has sued 42 other blockchain creators for alleged federal securities violations.
42 of them. Wow. See, I mean, I could name Library, I could name Ripple, but I knew there were others. I just didn't know who offhand they were. We don't know how many of them have been shut down by the various different costs involved in responding to these lawsuits, because it's tremendous. We're talking about millions of dollars that they have raised to make their product better.
And
now it has to go to lawyers.
And what good does it do, right? Like, I mean, who does this help?
It just helps the SEC and their power. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is talking about the impact of the assassination of former Japan Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
This attack has had a profound impact on the psyche of the Japanese people. This is a different culture they're not used to, as unfortunately we are.
Speaking at the CIA, Biden labeling the shooting death highly unusual for Japan. The United States is sending more of your tax dollars to Ukraine as it continues to fight off the unprovoked Russian invasion. That means United States has provided more than $7 billion since the beginning of Russia's invasion, a defense official telling CNBC. The U.S. coordinated a $400 million weapons package with Ukrainian officials. This is USA Radio News. Customs and Border Protection announced their investigation found no evidence any illegal immigrants were whipped or struck on horseback by Border Patrol agents in Texas, but they're proposing discipline for the agents for derogatory language and using threats of force to drive illegal immigrants back into the Rio Grande. The June jobs report blows past expectations for the number of jobs added in the month, adding 372,000 jobs. Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh touting the job and wage growth last month.
When I look at this report, I look at some of the positives here, that the private sector employment is back to pre-pandemic level. We're seeing manufacturing back to pre-pandemic level. We saw a good growth in child care workers this month, first time in quite some time. Warehousing, we've seen some growth.
Republicans have argued that inflation remains near 8% in May compared to wage growth at 5.1%. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want here. We're talking about library and the attack against this media sharing protocol. Specifically, they're attacking the company that helped design it, because that's all the government gang can do, is they can only target centralized targets. They don't know how to stop a protocol. Once that's out in the wild, it can't be reeled back in. But certainly they can do some damage to the Library Corporation, and that's what they're trying to do with their lawsuit against them, alleging that Library was selling what they call a security, meaning they, the SEC, calls a security. And what is a security? Well, according to the Internet sources that I pulled up earlier, Investopedia, for instance, they're saying that, you know, you basically have to have some sort of a promise of ownership or potential for your ownership to go up in value of a corporation, as I understand it. And the library tokens are not that. You do not get a percentage of ownership. If you own a billion library tokens, then you just have a lot of library tokens and you can do a lot of stuff on the network.
And here's the other thing. They certainly didn't promise it was going to go up in value.
No, they couldn't.
And now there are certainly scammers out there who like OneCoin, which didn't even offer any kind of crypto, but
that was just a straight up scam.
Right, that was just a straight up scam. But that did try to, you know, sell or argue that it would go up in value. But that's not what Library did, and I think this is also part of it. You know, it's like that's not what they were selling. You seem to be intentionally blind to what they were selling, and it's interesting because they effectively seem to be saying that. They seem to have agreed at the time, supposedly, at the time in which they were sold, and then later, because it went up in value, it's almost like they're arguing, okay, well, because it went up in value, even though that's not what you sold, you've somehow violated the law.
Mm.
The motion for judgment on the pleadings states that the SEC argues that library's admission necessarily bars its selective enforcement defense because it undercuts the library's assertion that it has been treated differently from other similarly situated digital currency creators.
So the SEC is saying, well, we've attacked a bunch of you guys, yep. So you can't use that defense.
Yeah, even you know, if there's 100,000 or a million people and they've gone after 42 and you're one of the 42, somehow that's not selective.
No, well, I mean, it costs nothing for the SEC to go after 42 versus 402. It's just they, you know.
No, it's my money that they're taking to do that, that they're stealing to do it. And your money and all of our money. It's the public, you know.
That's right.
Anybody who's paid taxes on anything, basically. Citing this argument, the district court dismissed library selective enforcement defense.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're going for the weaker defenses first, and they because I think they can do. I don't know if you can do multiple. I'm not really sure how any of that works.
You can throw out as many as you want. The Supreme or the district court can do what it wants.
Right. Motion to intervene. The Library Foundation Incorporated filed a motion to intervene, requesting to allow its intervention in the SEC's case against Library Incorporated. Okay.
So there's Library Incorporated and then the Library Foundation?
Yeah. Like. Which, okay. This is not that. I mean, I've seen this before. I'm trying to think what case it was. But basically, it had to do with a peer-to-peer file sharing system. Probably like, I don't know, 2005 time period. I believe it was. And basically, it was sort of like Napster, but there were two separate systems. There was a client, and then there could be multiple backends, like peers, that you would connect to. And basically, it had to do with, like, basically one is operating as an ISP and one selling you the front-end software, kind of. Okay. So it basically, the ultimate decision was, when it got to its conclusion, was because you guys were operating across they rented, like, two offices, or they shared one office, but there were two different companies, like on paper anyway. And the court just basically wasn't buying it, or something to that effect.
Well, anyone can motion to intervene in a civil case, as I understand it, and the court can decide whether or not to let them.
Yeah.
And essentially, if they're allowed, then they become a defendant in the case.
Yep. In its motion, the foundation argued that it has fundamentally different interests than the library in this case, arising from their different corporate purposes. Specifically, the foundation explained that it is a nonprofit corporation. That's really interesting because it's got an INC. I don't know. Is that
nonprofit corporations also use INC?
Hmm. I know, like with Mozilla and Firefox, it's, you know, Mozilla's a corporation, but it's owned by a nonprofit. Anyway, it's just the way it's worded seems different than I would have expected. Specifically, the foundation explained that it is a nonprofit corporation that works to promote the growth and use of the library protocol in a bottom-up, community-driven fashion, and it grants, not sells, LDC tokens to third parties in furtherance of the foundation's goals. So this is sort of more like a donation. What it sounds like they're saying is it's more like you're donating to a nonprofit for to help basically the network, which does sound more like what somebody who would be putting their money into library credits is doing, as opposed to maybe buying a crypto, like an actual cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin or something like that.
So were they allowed to intervene in the case?
No. On the other hand, it argued that library is a for-profit business enterprise.
This is the SEC arguing this?
I guess. On the other hand, it argued... Yeah, no. I think this is the nonprofit argument. On the other hand, it argued, because remember, there's two different libraries. Mm-hmm. One's nonprofit and one's a for-profit.
Okay.
On the other hand, it argued that library is a for-profit business enterprise that raised funds from venture capital firms. But that isn't what they're being charged with, I don't think, because that's separate. That's relating to the company itself. It's the credits that
they're going after, the token.
The token, not the actual venture capital. That would be something that would be regulated, I think, but not the credits. But they're going after them for the credit sales. On the other hand, it argued that library is a for-profit business enterprise that raised funds from venture capital firms and individual investors in the form of convertible promissory note. Oh, no, they're not talking about that, I guess. So that seems to be, this just seems to be the way the SEC has decided to word it. Promissory notes and not through the sale of LBC. Oh, no, I was right the first time. And not through the sale of LBC tokens. So I was right. I was right the first time. The foundation further argued that it likely had different litigation strategies that could result in different outcomes than those pursued by the library due to its dependence on the utility of LBC tokens, whereas library could continue its corporate existence without the LBC coins. The foundation will lose its fundamental purpose should the LBC tokens lose their utility.
I don't see how the LBC token is going to lose its utility. It's part and parcel of the blockchain that is behind Library. I'm not obviously intimately familiar with this case, and neither are you. We don't have Jeremy Kaufman here to answer, or the attorneys who are filing this. But should the SEC be successful at taking down the Library Corporation, that doesn't mean the SEC is going to get their hands on all of the tokens or all of the coins. Those are in individual cryptocurrency wallets to which each individual has the keys. There's no way they can forfeit that. That stuff isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ultimately, the only thing SEC can do here is defeat Library in this case, have some sort of monetary attachment to it, right? Like some sort of penalty, and that will likely put them out of business if that's the case.
I think what they're saying is that because it's...
And then they have a victory on their belt, and then they can use that to go after others.
I think they might be saying something to the effect of... without the for-profit corporation, the library, there's nothing using the protocol or something to that effect.
The users are using it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, in theory, the software still exists independent of library because the sources are available. So, yeah, I would agree with you on this.
The sources could then be put up by a decentralized autonomous organization, and development could continue.
Right.
That ought to be what they should do, really. And they should go the shapeshift route, and they should announce that they're done with the centralized corporation structure, and they're going to decentralize the organization behind library, and then just try to, you know, whatever happens to the SEC happens at the SEC, and then say goodbye to the library of the corporation. Maybe they want to see if they're going to win first or not, but...
I mean, some of this might be being fought on principle, too, so...
Oh, of course. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160, Free Talk Live.
Have you set aside a supply of food for the potential food shortages about to happen? If you could buy one superfood that would support your energy, immunity, tissue repair, healing, detoxification, and have anti-inflammatory effects, would you be interested? There is one product that confers all of these benefits, and it is called Green Meadow Whey. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold, sterilized, non-denatured, frequency-encoded whey protein powder on the market. When you add some flax oil to your whey protein drink, then Green Meadow Whey becomes a complete meal, addressing the amino acid and fatty acid requirements of the body. Each scoop of Green Meadow Whey supplies your body with 24 grams of an easy-to-digest protein. Green Meadow Whey's shelf life is indefinite when kept free of moisture. A 5-pound bag of Green Meadow Whey lasts 76 days at one scoop per day. For a convenient and powerfully nourishing storable food, consider Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's best, W-H-E-Y, protein.net.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. In these remaining moments, enough time perhaps for your call. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. Every day you join us online, head over to our website, freetalklive.com. Enjoy the various features that you'll find there. And if you really like what we do and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then please join our AMPS program, as Alex has done. Alex is a gold-level supporter, which means Alex is sending over $10 a month, at least, to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. You get some perks when you do that, too. Get all the details and get signed up. And we appreciate your help over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. That will forward you right over to our Patreon, where you can sign up with your PayPal or debit or credit card, and like Alex has done. And all we ask for is $5 a month, so Alex did twice that much. So thank you again over at amps.freetalklive.com. We're going to go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I just want to mention that I found that it was illegal. Supposed to put speeding cameras, computerized automated services,
mm-hmm.
on state highways going through cities in New Mexico. But and then you know the one that's supporting this is, of course, all you guys, that people that hate the speeding cameras. Right, they're the one that say you're prohibited from putting automated services, but I really believe this is a very misinterpretation of the law that was written 80, 90 years ago, before they had cameras and computers and photo enforcement.
Now, Sarah, do you object to this because you have a tendency to walk on interstate highways?
No, it's not that, but the idea is they speed just as much as they do on state highways going through cities.
I mean, usually there's no pedestrians on an interstate highway, though, correct?
No, it's illegal to walk.
Right. So they're not going to injure anybody, by hitting them, because there's nobody crossing the road.
Is this only for interstates, or is this any highways, like state roads?
No, I'm talking about, we have these, slower going, but they belong to the state. But if there are over 500,000 people, like Albuquerque, the city the city police could regulate the speedings and the traffic enforcement on those. It's only for the smaller cities they have this law that the state could only have governance.
I'm not sure what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay, there are highways that go through, but they're not interstate. They're not freeways going 70, 80 miles per hour.
So they're not federal highways.
Okay, but are the speed cameras, are the automated speed cameras prohibited on state roads, state highways, or
right,
only federal?
That's what they're claiming. Right. No, that's what they're claiming. All the opposers are coming up that you're not allowed to put the automated ones on state highways. Because it's just an excuse for them to not have them there because they speed just as much and cause as much accidents.
So is it, just to clarify, is it that the state did put the cameras out and now there's a group that is suing them over this?
No, that we used to have, Paseo del Norte is a highway that goes through Albuquerque. We used to have 3 bed-like cameras there, and they made them take them off because the city has no jurisdiction, but it turns out the city does have jurisdiction. They can have city police, ATS, giving them speeding citations. Now they come up with, you're not allowed to have photo enforcement.
Who is coming up with this? Who is saying this?
Okay, the people that oppose the speeding cameras.
Okay, so but are those people suing the county or the city? How did this come to your attention?
Well, the thing is, I talked to one of the mayor's liaisons. And then they've explained to me that, one, the city is not allowed to put photo enforcement, but the city police can give a speeding tickets and citations are going through our Albuquerque.
So but what you're saying is there has to be a human being there. A police officer has to be able to be there to catch a person speeding or going through a red light, but they can't use an automated system.
Yeah, that's how they interpret it, because that law...
Well, maybe it's the police unions that are actually behind this. You know, like, they don't want to lose their jobs, that kind of thing. They don't want an automation system to replace them. That's my guess. I bet you that... I don't know what she's saying, that this is a 90-year-old law. That doesn't...
Machines will not replace us.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. Let's go to Jack in Washington State. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
I think that we should have cameras in the center of our steering wheels when we drive.
Why?
So they can see if we're wearing our seatbelts.
Okay. Why?
And look, just to make sure that the government knows what we're doing and we're being safe.
Are you trying to do a Sarah impression? Is that what your call is tonight?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And I keep on going, crosswalks, I mean, what are they?
That's cute, Jack. Anything else?
The assassination of the Japanese prime minister, ex-prime minister today, I think it was a bigger deal than we understand.
Why?
I think it's like you guys talk about succession.
It's just a dead ex-politician. I mean, he didn't even hold current office, did he?
No, but he was running actually again for prime minister.
Oh, was he? Oh, I didn't know that detail.
Dirty deed there, huh?
Yeah, and he was you guys are... I don't know, you're pretty, equal with, politics, but he was a Trump supporter.
I'm not equal with politics, I'm against politics. I think politics should shrivel up and go away. I want nothing to do with
Boris Johnson, man?
I don't know much about him. I know he's the guy in the prime minister's seat in the UK. There's some controversy over him, I guess, partying.
No, he resigned.
Oh, did he?
He was fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I heard that too, I think.
I predict he'll be replaced by another a-hole. Thank you for the call tonight, Jack. All right, so what else do we need to know about library? I know it's a lengthy legal piece.
I think this last two paragraphs here will sum it up.
Right.
I think we'll be good. The court ultimately denied the foundation's motion to intervene, saying the SEC's response to the motion. One of the SEC's arguments was that both library and the foundation sought dismissal on grounds that library or LBC's credits are not investment contracts and thus not securities.
Right, makes sense.
The SEC also argued that library and the foundation had the same interests because the foundation was an outgrowth of library that utilized the library's resources and personnel to support its mission of promoting growth and usage of the library network. Very similar to what I've said before. As part of its motion, the foundation also noted that while both the foundation and library challenge the presence of a common enterprise under Howey, the foundation's argument goes further by challenging the SEC's pragmatic claim that a network can be an enterprise, common or not, under Howey. The foundation argued the SEC's interpretation of Howey goes beyond the Howey court's position, namely that the business enterprise that registers its securities by filing current business and financial information relevant to determining the enterprise's future value is the relevant entity for purposes of finding a common enterprise. So in other words,
yeah, I need some other words on that one.
It's the business. It's the business, you know, the for-profit corporation that would be regulated if they were the ones who had sold the library credits. But they didn't sell the library credits.
Okay.
I believe it's the nonprofit is what they're saying is what he sold the
but
library credits.
But they wouldn't let the nonprofit join the lawsuit.
Yeah, something like that. In disputing the SEC's newly expanded understanding of enterprise under Howey, the foundation cited several reasons, including that library is neither a business, enterprise, nor issuer. Let's see. Okay, so the for-profit is neither a business enterprise nor issuer. Library credits do not give holders rights against the current and future assets of library, right, sure. The enterprise. Libraries
right, because if library, the business closes down, the credits are still there, the credits right. are still operating.
Library's anticipated value as a business enterprise does not determine the library credits' value.
No, it's the marketplace that determines those.
Right.
And those credits are traded on different exchanges as we speak.
Let's see here. Library's registration does not enhance the library credit investment decision because value of library credits are not tied to the value of library. Again, the for-profit corporation. And library does not have a direct relationship through a library credit with a library credit holder like an issuer of a security has with a security holder. Right. Which is exactly what this is just the most crazy case here. Unfortunately, because neither the SEC nor the court addressed the foundation's common enterprise arguments in resolving the motion to intervene, the efficiency of these arguments is presently unclear. So basically what the court said is we're just not going to hear your argument, or we don't understand your argument, so we're not going to rule on it, it sounds like. They got apparently the summary judgment and trial. So basically what this means is it's going to go to trial. So
it'll be up to a jury to decide all of these, you know, big questions about investments and banking and, you know, stocks. And, I mean, my eyes glaze over when I hear a lot of this stuff. I imagine a lot of the jury will as well, and it'll be a tough case. We'll see you tomorrow night, Free Talk Live. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.